Each week during children's time with the pastor, you hear for yourself those great truths spoken by our children. Parents sometimes tell me, children's sermon is a frightening moment for me as a parent, they say. I sit in my pew and pray the whole time, dear God, let my child not speak to the pastor, lest they tell the truth. But I love it when our children share. And this morning you heard them, what is love? What does love mean? That same question was asked several years ago to a group of children ages 4 through 8. What is love? I've shared with you before, but the answers are just too good not to hear again. What is love? Mary Ann, age 4. Love is when your puppy licks you in the face even after you've left him home alone all day. Billy, age 8. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. Karen said, when you love someone, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. Danny, age 6. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before she gives it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Rosie, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy said, love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other. Carl, age 5, said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on aftershave and they go out and smell each other. 3 more. You really shouldn't say, said Jessica, age 5, you really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. Pete, age 6. Love is when your mom let your dad watch football on the big, really good TV in the living room, even when he falls asleep all the time, and she goes to the bedroom and watches her show on the small TV. Now that is love. And my favorite comes from Bobby, who's 8 years old. Bobby said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. You know, churches arrange the themes of Advent in different orders. No one really decided you have to go hope, peace, joy, and love. Every church tends to do it differently. Most start with hope or peace. But joy or love really does differ from church to church. I've always believed that the final theme of Advent should be love. I think the themes of hope and peace and joy really find their essence and their meaning, their purpose in love. This morning, would you allow me to simply allow Holy Scripture, God's word, to speak to us concerning love? 5 scriptures that could change our world on love. 1 Corinthians 13, I read from the Message. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps. But I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So matter what I say, no matter what I believe or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We only know a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete comes, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. But when I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long until the weather clears and the sun shines brightly. We'll see it all. We'll see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. But for right now, until the completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 1 John continues, chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And our primary text for this fourth Sunday of Advent is found in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Paul said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The gift, an indescribable, unspeakable gift. God so loved, he gave. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ gave. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, Paul said. Thanks be to God for the gift. I propose that if there were five Sundays of Advent, not just four, but if there were five Sundays of Advent, the fifth theme should be give. God loved, he gave, Christ gave. Thanks be to God for the gift. What a journey we've enjoyed these past weeks. How quickly they have come. Hope, peace, joy, and now love. You know, many folks have never experienced the fourth Sunday of Advent. This year might be a little different. Often by the time we get to the fourth Sunday, hectic schedules have caught us. Holiday events have come pressing, and travel plans occur. And for many, the fourth Sunday is lost. They know the first three. I'm glad that you are here today. And I'm glad those watching from home are able to experience this fourth Sunday. And it's my prayer that we will not only be recipients of the gift of love, but that we will share the gift of love as well. There's such hatred. There seems to be such hatred in our world, in our nation, and in so many families. We're so divided, so hurt, and seem so fragile. But love can change all of that. I believe that. I believe that God's love and love in Christ and the love that is in us, if we would share it, could change it all. Let's give love another chance. Bobby, I think, was right. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas. If you stop opening presents and just listen. Listen. What began in that little town of Bethlehem needs to be shared this day and every day. We need to listen, and then we need to share. We need to go and tell the gospel message on the mountain. We need to take that message of love and go and share it. I want those who are going to lead us to come. I want us to prepare our own message, the message of love and joy, the message of peace and hope. We need to take that message and we need to go and share it unapologetically. If the church does not share the message, who will? If they don't see the love of Christ in us, how will they see it? Let us go and let us share. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ loves, that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ forgives, gives hope, gives life, gives peace. Jesus gives love. Would you stand?